of you are well aware, as a church family, we've been going through the one-year Bible, and it has been an adventure. And sometimes, you know, you can get lost in among the trees, but don't let that be a discouragement for you. Try to get to some high ground, get the big picture. And so there are some pretty intense things to see and to learn in the scriptures. We've been coming across some scriptures that I know, I don't ever remember reading it. I know I have, but I just don't remember ever reading that. It's just new and fresh and exciting, especially on those roads less traveled. And so we're going to go ahead and pray and dive right on into things. Let's think. Oh, I believe I'm the first one to read. So I'm going to... I think that if you could just let me know when I'm supposed to stop, that will be sufficient. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to pray here. Lord Jesus, thank you, God, for your word. You just hand-delivered, in a sense, this amazing manuscript that really is unlike any other book on the planet. The things that you say, the prophecies you fulfill, it's the lives you changed, it's amazing to us, truly amazing. And I want to thank you so much for revealing your word to us and giving us now the blessed opportunity to read it, to think on it, to ponder it, and to obey it. Lead us into these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I've got music coming out of my speaker up front, which is kind of nice. A little background music. Okay, are you guys ready? Do we have the scriptures up front? I've got then all the military leaders. Is that right? Okay, excellent. Here we go, guys. This is in Jeremiah chapter what, Bob? Mine cuts it off. 42. Jeremiah 42. Here we go. Then all the military leaders, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, approached Jeremiah the prophet. They said, "Please pray to the Lord your God for us. As you can see, we are only a tiny remnant compared to what we were before. Pray that the Lord your God will show us what to do and where to go." "All right," Jeremiah replied. "I will pray to the Lord your God as you have asked, and I will tell you everything he says. I will hide nothing from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord your God be a faithful witness against us if we refuse to obey whatever he tells us to do. Whether we like it or not, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you with our plea. For if we obey him, everything will turn out well for us." 10 days later, the Lord gave this reply to Jeremiah. Note that it was 10 days later. You know, we want it 10 minutes later. Let me continue. 10 days later, the Lord gave this reply to Jeremiah. So he called for Johanan, son of Kareah, something like that, and other military leaders, and for all the people, from the least to the greatest. He said to them, "You sent me to the Lord, the God of Israel, with your request, and this is the reply. Stay." That's it? I was just getting going. Thank you. Thank you. All right. This is the reply. "Stay here in this land. If you do, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you. For I am sorry about all the punishment I have had to bring upon you. Do not fear the king of Babylon anymore, says the Lord, for I am with you and will save you and rescue you by his power. I will be merciful to you by making him kind, so he will let you stay here in your land. But if you refuse to obey the Lord your God, and if you say, we're not going to stay here, instead, we will go to Egypt, where we will be free from war, the call to arms, and hunger. Then hear the Lord's message to the remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt and live there, the very war and famine you fear will catch up to you, and you will die there. That is the fate awaiting every one of you who insists on going to live in Egypt. Yes, you will die from war, famine, and disease. None of you will escape the disaster I bring upon you there. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Just as my anger and fury have been poured out on the people of Jerusalem, so they will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. But you will be an object of damnation, horror, cursing, and mockery, and you will never see your homeland again. Listen, you remnant of Judah, the Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Don't forget this warning I have given you today, for you were not being honest when you sent me to pray to the Lord your God for you. You said, just tell us what the Lord our God says and we will do it. And today, I have told you exactly what he said, but you will not obey the Lord your God any better now than you have in the past. So you can be sure that you will die from war, famine, and disease in Egypt, where you insist on going. Wow.
Jeremiah had finished giving this message from the Lord their God to all the people. Azariah, son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the other proud men said to Jeremiah, you lie. The Lord our God hasn't forbidden us to go to Egypt. Barak, son of Neriah, has convinced us to say this because he wants us to stay here and be killed by Babylonians or be carried off into exile. So Johanan and the other military leaders and all the people refused to obey the Lord's command and stay in Judah. Johanan and other leaders took them, all the people who had returned from the nearby countries to which they had fled. In the crowd were men, women, and children, the king's daughters, and all of those whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left to Gedaliah. The prophet Jeremiah and Barak were also included. The people refused to obey the voice of the Lord and went to Egypt, going as far as the city of Tahpenes. Then the Tahpenes, the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "While the people of Judah are watching, take some large rocks and bury them under the pavement stones at the entrance of Pharaoh's palace. Here in Tahpenes." They said to the Lord of Judah, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies and God of Israel says. I will certainly bring my servants Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, here to Egypt. I will set his throne over these stones that I have hidden. He will spread his royal canopy over them, and he will come. He will destroy the land of Egypt. He will bring death to those destined for death, captivity to those destined for captivity, and war to those destined for war. He will set fire to the temples of Egypt's gods. He will burn the temples and carry the idols away as plunder. He will pick clean the lands of Egypt as a shepherd pick fleas from their cloak. And he himself will leave unharmed. He will break down the sacred pillars standing in the temple of the sun in Egypt."
This is the message Jeremiah received concerning the Judeans living in northern Egypt in the cities of Migdol, Tahpenes, and Memphis, and in southern Egypt as well. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. You saw the calamity I brought on Jerusalem and all the towns of Judea, and they now lie deserted and in ruins. They provoked my anger with all their wickedness. They burned incense and worshipped other gods, gods that neither they nor you nor any of your ancestors had ever even known. Again and again I sent my servants, the prophets, to plead with them, "Don't do these horrible things that I hate so much." But my people would not listen nor turn back from their wicked ways. They kept on burning incense to those gods, and so my fury boiled over and fell like fire on the towns of Judah and into the streets of Jerusalem, and they are all still desolate today, desolate ruin today. And now the Lord God of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, asks you, "Why are you destroying yourselves? For not one of you will survive, not a man, woman, or child among you who has come here from Judah, not even the babies in your arms. They provoke my anger by burning incense to the idols you have made here in Egypt. You will only destroy yourselves and make yourselves an object of cursing and mockery for all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the sins of your ancestors, the sins of the kings and queens of Judah, and the sins you and your wives committed in Judea and Jerusalem? To this very hour you have shown no remorse or reverence. No one has chosen to follow my words and the decrees I give you to you and your ancestors before you. Therefore, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. I am determined to destroy every one of you. I will take this remnant of Judah, those who are determined to come here and live in Egypt, and I will consume them. They will fall here in Egypt, killed by war and famine. All will die from the least to the greatest. They will be an object of damnation, horror, cursing, and mockery."
"I will punish them in Egypt just as I punished them in Jerusalem by war, famine, and disease. Of that remnant who fled to Egypt, hoping someday to return to Judah, there will be no survivors. Even though they long to return home, only a handful will do so. Then all the women present and all the men who knew that their wives had burned incense to idols, a great crowd of all the Judeans living in northern Egypt and southern Egypt, answered Jeremiah, "We will not listen to your messages from the Lord. We will do whatever we want. We will burn incense and pour out liquid offerings to the Queen of Heaven just as much as we like, just as we and our ancestors and our kings and officials have always done in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For in those days we had plenty to eat, and we were well off and had no troubles. But ever since we quit burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and stopped worshiping her with liquid offerings, we have been in great trouble and have been dying from war and famine. Besides," the women added, "do you suppose that we were burning incense and pouring out liquid offerings to the Queen of Heaven and making cakes marked with her image without our husbands knowing it and helping us? Of course not." Then Jeremiah said to all of them, men and women alike, who had given him that answer, "Do you think the Lord did not know that you and your ancestors, your kings and officials and all the people were burning incense to idols in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? It was because the Lord could no longer bear all the disgusting things you were doing that he made your land an object of cursing, a desolate ruin without inhabitants, as it is today. All these terrible things happened to you because you have burned incense to idols and sinned against the Lord. You have refused to obey him and have not followed his instructions, his decrees, and his laws."
Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confronted by many rebellious witnesses. Now teach those truths to others, trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. And endurance, suffering along with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers don't get tired up in the affairs of civilization life. What? Civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules, and hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I am saying. The Lord will help you understand all these things. Always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal, but the word of God cannot be changed. So I am willing to endure everything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Christ Jesus to these God has chosen. Where am I going to? Okie dokie. This is the trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endurance hardship, we will regain with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny who he is. Remained everyone about these things and committed them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they cannot ruin these who hear them.
Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed or who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, as in the case of Herminius and Philetus, Philetus. They have left the path of truth, claiming that the resurrection of the dead has already occurred. In this way, they have turned some people away from the faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions. The cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the Master to use you for every good work. Psalm 92. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning and your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the 10-stringed instrument, the harp, and the melody of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done.
O Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds, and evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. For they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty." Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourselves are from the everlasting past. The flood has risen up, O Lord. The flood have rolled like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, The Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. You reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever. Guide a horse with a whip, a donkey with a bridle, and a fool rod to his back. Don't answer the foolish arguments of fools, or you'll become as foolish as they are. Be sure to answer the foolish arguments of fools, or they'll become wise in their own estimation.
Another, we got it all read. Good job, you guys. So, why did God punish Israel so severely, sending them into exile and killing them with war, famine, and pestilence? Why did God do that? Because what did you say, Lance? They didn't obey him. What did you say, Aunt? They did some stupid things. Yeah. You know, they sinned. And they sinned a lot. And they wouldn't stop. They kind of liked it. Huh. Have you ever wondered why our church hasn't been growing faster much at all? Have you ever wondered why? After 12 years of being here, we're still kind of this remnant. You could say it's because there's a hardening of hearts in our society, and yeah, that may be the case. But yeah, right? You might be able to maybe make a connection to how God handled Israel, how God is handling us. I know he lifts one man up and puts down another. Who's to say he doesn't do the same with churches? This past couple of weeks, I've noticed that both Bob and in the message that God's given me today has kind of almost dealt with maybe some internal issues that we have as Lifehouse Church. Bob dealt with the matter of work, the value of it, the necessity of it, even just the dignity, God's blessing on those who work and work hard and then are able to be generous with others. And I think that there's been an issue. We've had that a lot in the past when we had a lot of people in our church who just didn't have any jobs. But now we seem to have at least a job. We might be underemployed, but we all are kind of working. Bob was telling me recently that we only have like 6 or 7 people that tithe to our church. And so we do have a negative on the giving side. So people are working, but it seems like maybe your debt load or your living expenses are inhibiting you from being able to be generous. Well, that's going to slow down a lot of people's aspirations to get our own building. We don't have generous people in our church. That's going to slow us down. It may even slow down God's ability to be generous to you. He's looking to you to be a hard-working, generous individual so that he might bless you. What do I have for you today? You know, as I was tracking the 1 year and beginning on Monday of this week, I came across a proverb that I just wondered to myself, could this be an internal cancer that we might just need to address that we might be a people that God could bless? And so what I'm going to be talking about is gossip and slander. And I liken it playing with fire. That, you know, it sounds like it's a fun thing to do. It's so cool to watch fire burn things until you get burned in the process. And so we're going to talk about that and see where God leads us. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that your word is truth. Your word puts a spotlight to the dark areas of our lives. And you know, and like the Israelites, we would just prefer to live in the darkness where we're just doing all the things that we've always done. We don't want to have to change. We just want you to bless us regardless of what we think, say, and do. It just doesn't work that way. I mean, our promise of eternal life is secure. It's laid up in heaven. No one can touch that. But your ability to bless us, it seems like a lot of that is contingent upon whether we are an instrument for noble use or ignoble. Help us, God, that today as we shine a light on some maybe dark corners of our lives, that you would refine us and make us instruments for noble use. In Jesus' name. So how many times has somebody told you to not play with fire? Savannah, I'm looking for you to raise your hands. Like, no, don't play with fire. Yeah, you don't do that. Now, how many of you have played with fire nonetheless? you know, if John was here, he would have to raise his hand, right, Mom? Yeah, played, tried to burn down the house. I tell you. Well, I believe that the vices of gossip and slander are just like playing with fire. And the more we do it, the more we burn down our ability to receive God's blessing, both on this church and in our lives personally. And we read several verses to this week to this effect. Maybe you guys remember reading the first one on Monday, and it said this, or actually I think it's on Wednesday: as surely as a north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue causes anger. Can I get me an amen? Isn't that the truth? You know, so many times I run across people who are at odds with each other, you know, not wanting to talk to each other, mad at each other, and at the root, it was gossip. I mean, this proverb is very true. We can relate to that. Guys, the book of Proverbs warns of the dangers of gossip and slander at least 15 times. How many times does God need to say something before it's true? Once. But if it's something that he knows we will struggle with, he will repeat it, and often, 15 times. Even more than that, if you count the warnings of false, deceptive, or harmful speech in the scripture. God makes it very clear that he stands against and opposed to gossip and slander. Proverbs 6. Okay, so we're going back here now. Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19, he said, there are six things the Lord hates, which is strong language, hate. Nope, seven things that he detests. Haughty eyes, that means proud eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. What we have in these seven behaviors that are repulsive to God, I mean, he hates them. There's strong talk, guys. He hates these things. They're descriptors of gossip and slander. These are the things that gossip and slander does. Both of these words, gossip and slander, are defined very similarly. Both of them are defined very similarly throughout the Bible. They can use these words interchangeably oftentimes. And you'll find that different translations will actually even alternate which word they will use. Regardless of the term that they use, both are condemned as sin in both the Old Covenant law, Leviticus, and elsewhere, and in the New Covenant, in the book of Romans. Gossip can be narrowly defined as idle talk or rumors. I heard this kind of stuff. You know, did you hear this? You know, rumors. Then they're about the personal or private affairs of others, other people's lives. You're talking about other people. Okay? But the Bible adds a deeper moral dimension to gossip. And that while the report that you are giving may be true and you're justified in sharing it because it's true, you know, even though it may be true, telling it to someone causes that person harm. It harms the person that hears it. It causes them to think less or to be critical of or even suspicious of the person that you're talking about. You hear what I'm saying? This is the idea, the definition of gossip. Proverbs 20:19 says, a gossip goes around telling lies or secrets. It says, goes around telling secrets. So don't hang around with chatterers. Okay, people who just like to talk and on. Proverbs tells us when words are many, sin is unavoidable. It's gonna happen. You're gonna start talking about other people, and I don't know why, but there's something in us that just makes us want to share the dirt. It's weird. Why can't we just praise people? Why won't that be our instinct? But nope, we gotta share the greasy, grimy stuff. Secret stuff. Nobody else knows. You know. So you gotta tell it to people. It's so weird. But we do this. Now, slander is very similar in that it also reveals private information about someone that causes pain when by doing so. But in this case, the report is blatantly false. It's fabricated. It's made up. It's a lie. It defames and damages the person's reputation that you are slandering. So lying and slander are treated as synonyms in many places in the Bible, such as Proverbs 10:18, which says, hiding hatred makes you a liar. Slandering others makes you a fool. It was used in a parallel fashion there. And so you look at the damage. I mean, it's amazing the damage that is caused by this kind of speech. Proverbs shares us a glimpse of it in Proverbs 25:18. It says, telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow. We have a lot of reservations about doing physical, bodily harm to someone. We need to realize that when we engage in gossip and slandering, you are doing emotional, psychological damage to the person that you're sharing with. And then once the person you're talking about finds out, well, then it's going to hurt them too. Gossip and slander are emotionally, they emotionally burn people. It has been the cause of the downfall of many churches. According to Proverbs, there are three types of victims. Three types of victims that get burned when you play with the fire of gossip and slander. The first burn victim. The first burn victim, or should I say victims, is friendships. The friendships that are ruined, destroyed, sometimes irreparably from gossip and slander. Proverbs says that even close friends are not spared from the destructive power of gossip and slander. You can only imagine what it would do to somebody that you don't know that well. You know, Proverbs 17:9. Love prospers when a fault is forgiven. But dwelling on it, or on the fault, separates close friends. Let me tell you the truth, guys. The closer you get to somebody, the closer you get to them, the greater the likelihood that you will get hurt by them, offended by them. For sure, you're going to find out things about them that will surprise you and will make you want to tell somebody else for some odd reason. Now, how many of us, when that inevitable moment comes, when the relationship is getting close and all of a sudden something is said or done that hurts you, have found ourselves using it as a conversation piece with somebody else? Yeah, so-and-so, they did this. They said that. I can't believe they did that. It's just so, it's unfortunate how natural it is that when you get hurt, you just want to tell somebody else about it. Fortunately, that would fall under the title of gossip, or possibly even slander, when you exaggerate the matter to make it seem worse. Try to justify yourself telling it to other people. So when you get hurt by someone, what do you naturally want to do? Hurt them back. That's the natural thing. Hurting people hurt people. Okay? And talking to others about what they did to hurt you gives you this some sort of a perverted sense of justice. You actually think that you are in the right to tell others about what they did to you or said to you. But Proverbs says, no, you are in the wrong. You are actually making matters worse. The more you repeat it, the more you drive a wedge between you and your friends. Guys, I've done this. I'm thinking that this is not an isolated incident, but I have done this. I've burned people by perpetuating gossip more often than I would like to admit, or maybe even than I'm even aware of. But I've done this. Just even a week or so ago, I fell into it again. You see, it's just so easy to repeat a matter, you know, to mention something to somebody else. It just seems so easy to do. You see, when someone hurts you or you receive a negative report about someone, all you have to do is pass it on to others. Press send. It's all you got to do. It's just so easy. You just hit send and it's off. And you have just engaged. Even send. And once it's sent, well, there's no taking it back. Though sometimes you can take it back. There are like Facebook Messenger, I think you can go in there and unsend. Verbally, you don't quite have that same option. And at some point, you won't have that option even on Facebook Messenger. But once it's sent, it's gone. It's out there. And once it's out there, it burns. It's a fire that burns. Guys, I need to think twice before you hit the send button. Okay? Before you do that, think, does what I am about to send really need to be said? Do I really need to share this with that person? Will it benefit them? You know? Will they be encouraged by that? You know? Or will they be discouraged? Will it cause that person to think less of or ill of the person that I'm talking about? Maybe, guys, maybe we should just hit delete instead of send. And I know I wish I had plenty of time. Hit delete. I know of some people even mentioned to me, I wrote this whole thing down, and then I hit delete. It was almost therapeutic for them to get it out, and then they hit delete.
You could do the same thing just by taking it to God, because then God will automatically delete it. It's an automatic delete there. Proverbs 16:28 says that a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates close friends. It's amazing to me, guys. It's amazing to me to think that gossip can do that. That it could separate close, trusted friends. It's just amazing to me that we are so susceptible to gossip. That here we have a close friendship, and we are more apt to believe the negative report about them than to believe our own friend and believe the best of our friend. It says close friend. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't you think it would be more reasonable that you would reject the negative report and give your close friend that benefit of the doubt, or at least take it right to your friend rather than just simply believe it? And it's like, well, I'll take that under advisement. I'm going to check it out with my friend. You would think, and maybe sometimes we do, but guys, gossip and slander, it burns, and it burns deep. As Proverbs 18:8 says, rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Wow, guys, that's just a little scary to think about. Even close friends are not immune. I think that one of the reasons gossip and slander is so destructive is because we deceive ourselves into thinking that we're impervious to it. Oh, it's not gonna burn me. You know, so we share it or we listen to it because it's not gonna burn me. I'm not so weak-minded. I can hear it and I'll be okay. We think this way. We deceive ourselves into thinking that you're not like other people. You can play with fire. You can get away with it. Oh, it's amazing how we can think we know better than God. Isn't it? God doesn't. Yeah, that's more for other people. God says that gossip kills. It kills close friendships. And we would be wise to believe him. Not be like the Israelites. Oh, we'll do whatever you say, God. God says, well, don't gossip and slander. Well, except for that. Keep yourself far from the flames of gossip and slander as humanly possible. I made at least one good decision in this regard recently. Last week, I prevented a conversation that was going in the direction of gossip. Sometimes you can tell. Just by the way the conversation's going, you're thinking, this is not going to end well. What I try to do is I say something about someone that is positive. You know, you say something positive about the person, it almost kind of puts a stumbling block in front of the other person. Like, well, that's not going to work with what I was going to say at all. You know, you try to say something or before I listen to what someone else has to say, I'd like to ask this. That's what I like to ask. So, and sometimes it's just it's an internal question, kind of help monitor my own ears and mouth. Am I, or the person that's listening to me, are we a part of the problem or the solution? You know, you're kind of dealing with somebody's dirty laundry, some issue, something in their life that is not positive. Okay, we're not talking about praising people here. We're talking about sharing the negative things. And so am I or is that person a part of the problem that's going on in this person's life, or are they a part of the solution? Because sometimes you do need to get counsel and you need to get advice, but you need to monitor that wisely. Am I a part of the problem? Or are they a part of the problem? Are they a part of the solution? Am I if not, then I should not be a part of this conversation. This conversation should not be going on. If I am not a part of the problem or the solution, I am not going to be a part of the conversation. And sometimes you got to almost be offensive and say, guys, this is not for me. So don't disguise it. Also, I'll just want a little addendum. Don't disguise it as a prayer request. It's so easy to do that. Like, I got a prayer request. Let me tell you about what this guy did. Like, don't disguise it as a prayer request. If it is a genuine prayer request, just take it to the man upstairs. Just go straight to the top. You can do that once you have the Holy Spirit in you. You can go straight to the top. It's okay. You got God's permission. Don't touch it because it's evil. All right, now the next, you know, I said there was three burn victims. I was like, whoa, this guy just used up a lot of time on burn victim number one. It's because it's the most. Okay? The next two is going to be really cool. Here they are. In Proverbs 26, nestled in between verses warning against lying and deceitful speech, the discerning reader discovers another burn victim, the person actually doing the gossip. You might be thinking, I'm not, you know, yeah, you get burned. Proverbs 26, 27 says, if you set a trap for others, you will get caught in it yourself. If you roll a boulder down on others, it will crush you instead. That's something. Do any of us need any proof for convincing that you'll not get burned if you play with gossip and slander? No, you're going to get burned. Listen to this one. In Proverbs 13:3, those who control their tongue will live or will have a long life. That sounds positive. You know, you got to control your tongue, though, but it says you'll have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. I love the way God reveals his heart and mind on things. Yeah, opening your mouth ruins everything. Or how about Proverbs 19:9? A false witness will not go unpunished, and a liar will be destroyed. Wow. Gossip not only hurts the reputation of the person that you're talking about, it ruins yours. You. Yeah. One of the biggest regrets of my life, this was many years ago back in Ames, was I was trying to help a couple deal with some marital issues. And they're in a tough spot. And so I thought I was going to help them by sharing with them about another couple that was going through the same thing. That didn't work out too well. Instead, they were shocked. Now I think about it, I'm shocked that I would share with them what this other couple was going through, even though it was very similar. They were shocked. They were offended. They were disgusted. They left. Kid you not, they left the church. You don't want to be around a guy that's going to do that kind of stuff. Because you'll think, if he's willing to do that with them, he's willing to do that with us. Ruins your reputation. And it hurts the church. That's the third thing. It's the church itself. Proverbs 26, 20 to 21 says, fire goes out without wood. Quarrels disappear when gossip stops. A quarrelsome person starts fights as easily as hot embers light charcoal or fire lights. This relates, guys, to that seventh abomination that we mentioned earlier in Proverbs 6, a person that sows discord in a family. That's exactly what gossip and slander does. Without question, one of the most defeated, problem-filled churches in the Apostle Paul's day was Corinth. The church in Corinth, Corinthians. Okay? Even after Paul corrected some serious sins in his first letter that we have a record of, then he says this in his second letter. Follow-up letter, he says, for I am afraid that when I come, I won't like what I find. And you won't like my response. I am afraid that I will find quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, gossip, arrogance, and disorderly behavior. Many times, Paul wrote that either he had or someone else should be put out of the church for being a divisive person. Such people exist. There are divisive people out there. Regardless of their motives and intentions, the end result of their spreading gossip and slander is conflict, drama. Proverbs tells us to not even associate with the target. And of course, the typical target of a divisive person is the leader of the church, especially the pastor. The game plan, of course, has always been the same. Strike the shepherd, you'll scatter the sheep. The devil came up with that one himself. He's been using it for centuries. Probably because it works. Pastors, guys, believe it or not, you got to realize that we are people too. We will make mistakes. We will make bad decisions. But there will always be something that you could gossip about if you wanted to. There will be there, and you will be able to do it and feel justified in doing so. But what does it do? What's the win? What's the benefit? It only makes matters worse. It only makes it worse. When there's internal struggles going on in a Christian's life, and you share it with other people, it only makes it worse. It doesn't help. It doesn't heal. And now we can even broadcast such things to the whole world via the internet. I know I'm out of time. I'm not out of message. I've got some interesting quotes about things that have happened like this in the various churches. Tim Chalice, an author, writes some interesting things about churches that have been completely destroyed from nothing more than unrestrained gossip and slander. May it not be so here. On our Facebook page, I will post some of ideas for corrective measures on how to prevent gossip and slander from coming out of your mouth or going into your ears. You're going to have to go to Facebook on that one. It'll be a good thing to put on Facebook. So, guys, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you, God, that your word is so rich. You have so much wisdom, and I love it. Oh, yeah, it hurts. The truth does hurt. And sometimes I feel like I can't handle the truth. But, Lord, help me to rest upon your grace, upon the beautiful power of your Holy Spirit, and just let you work in my life, in our lives, to make us into the kind of person you want us to be. A person that's just like Jesus. We ask you, God, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.